So the sermon this morning is titled Change. And Brian read Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. It's been kind of a running joke, but I love the book of Ecclesiastes. I really do. There's a lot in it that I think is so encouraging and a reminder to us of just some realities of life. And so one of the things that I wanted to point out from these verses is that it points out that life is always changing. Okay, so if you remember the passage, it starts off, "For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under the sun." And he goes on to list some things, and kind of the extremes, from one extreme to the other extreme. But another way of looking at it is it's pointing out that life is not going to always be the same. There are going to be changes in life. And change is something that it's just hard for a lot of people. A lot of us do not like change. Okay, and we've talked about that quite a bit in our class on Sunday mornings. And it makes us uncomfortable, we don't like it, but it's just a fact. Okay? Talks about in verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. We have people in our lives that come and go. And that's hard. That's difficult, right? But it's a change. And it's inevitable. It's not something we can do anything about. So we have to learn to deal with the fact that life is always changing. You know, Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 20 tells us, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Again, the other point of this is that the things of this world change. They always do. Things that we value that we, not necessarily even because they're worth a lot. You know, I've known people, I don't think I was ever one of these kids, but there were kids who had their favorite shirt. And they wore that shirt, and they wore it, and they wore it, and they wore it. And eventually mom would make it just disappear, okay? Because it was worn out, it was tired, it was dirty, it was just a mess, right? And mom decided you needed something else, but they didn't like to change it because it was their favorite shirt. They valued that shirt. But it eventually had to go away, right? And they're just things in life, as much as we value them, as much as we like them, they wear out, they get tired. And so they go away. And as I mentioned earlier, Philippians 4 verses 5 through 7 tells us that the changes we face in life are going to make us anxious. It says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is his hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Change is going to make us anxious, right? Change is going to make us anxious because it's unknown. We don't exactly know what we're going to do with that. So part of what made me think about this sermon was one of those jump starts. I've mentioned those before, Roger Shouse. And he had one. He based it upon a passage in Chronicles. Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, which says, "O Issachar, men of who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, 200 chiefs and all their kinsmen under their command." And he pointed out the fact that what a powerful and insightful expression, the men of Issachar understood the times. So what he's pointing out is that understood the times. When time goes by, things change. Things do not ever stay exactly the same. And for example, I've heard many, many times people talk about cars are so much more difficult. They used to be so easy to work on. They made them impossible to work on a car anymore. Okay? But what we don't remember is that they also had to be worked on a lot. It was a good thing they were easy because they broke all the time. They were very difficult to keep running, to keep in good shape. People go out to their car now, you've got a key, you turn it, most of them don't even have that anymore, you push the button, and you fully expect that when you hit the button to turn the key, it starts. I remember cars as a kid, as it was kind of 50-50 if that was going to happen. Okay? There was a lot of, oh, please, please, please start, please start, please start. Okay? Things have changed. Are they good or bad? I don't know. Probably a little bit of both, but they're different, right? So he goes on to point out that there are many people who never get that things change, that times change. They don't know what time it is. For some, the calendars ought to still read 1970. The world has moved past that, but some haven't. And they're thinking, the way their congregations operate, they still want it to be the glorious 1970s. Studies after studies have revealed that most people do not like to read. Magazines and newspapers have died because they didn't understand the times. So if everything a congregation is doing is in print form, and a vast majority of the community is no longer reading, then a major disconnect takes place. Tract racks hanging on the back of a church building was a thing in the 70s. Today, most of those tracts gather dust. That one made me think, we've got a tract rack. I can't remember the last time anything ever went out. If you were to pull one out now, I would imagine there's a pretty good coating of dust on all of them. Okay? Why? People don't read that stuff anymore. People don't do that. That's a change in the times. Now you can argue whether it's good or bad, right? People should read more. You know, a lot of noise right now about cursive writing. They should put cursive writing back in school. I'm not a big fan of that because I couldn't read my own cursive writing. I had to print everything because I couldn't understand. I'd take notes and then I'd go, I have no idea what this says. I can't read it. Is it good or bad? I don't know, but it's a change, right? It's a change. He goes on to say, our times is into bullet points, videos, podcasts, and short messages. Congregations need to pour more resources into websites that are user-friendly, attractive, and up-to-date. I've looked at some church websites that our brethren have and find that the most current sermon was 3 or 4 years ago. People will check you out online before they ever walk into your building. Understand the time. How many of you, when you're on a vacation and you're looking for a congregation, you go to the website to see what you can find out about a congregation before you pull into the driveway? You do, don't you? We don't have a little printed book with the people that, you know, used to keep track of ones that were good, bad, or whatever. Okay? Don't have that anymore. Go to the websites. It's true. Is it good or bad? I don't know. It's different. New cars no longer come with CD players. Are we still cranking out CDs of each sermon? Understand the times. The congregation we came from in Barberton, that's what they did. They had this thing that made CDs and they'd stack them up there and there was a huge stack of them. And they're still to this day doing. I don't know that I have anything that plays a CD other than my stereo in my office. And I play the oldies that I have on that, right? But cars don't have them. You don't listen to those on. They listen to podcasts. They listen to things that you stream. Those they can, but not the others, right? We have seen this transition in the way we hold gospel meetings. These days, it is very common to have a Sunday through Wednesday meeting. Some miss the good old days of a Sunday through Friday meeting. If you are old enough, before the meetings were 2 weeks long, Every night for 2 weeks. Before that, some even had never had an ending time. When people were not being baptized, the meeting would conclude. Might be 2 weeks, might be 20 days. No one really knew. These days, that just wouldn't work. We haven't lost the faith. We understand the times. There was a time when a congregation could print up hundreds of flyers and mail them out to the community advertising an upcoming gospel meeting. And we love that expression, gospel meeting. These days, many do not have a clue what that means. Our neighbors have meetings at work that are long and boring. Anybody sat through a work meeting that was very long and boring and you didn't know why you had to be there? That's like 90% of them that I've ever attended, okay? So, after a full day of work, we want them to come to our gospel meeting? Just doesn't sound inviting to them. Maybe Bible lessons. Maybe promote the topic more than the preacher. And these flyers these days, most are thrown immediately in the trash. We just had an election here in Indiana. Every day my mailbox had a bunch of political flyers. Did I read any of them? Did I even look at them? It was expensive to print and mail, and it ended up in the trash. Maybe we need to do something different. But here's my question. Is it okay to change? Part of the reason we don't change is we're comfortable. We feel like, as this has been the approved method, this is okay, we can do this. Is it okay for us to change? And part of that, again, one of the things that started my thinking about this, if you turn in your songbook to number 654. Last week I led this song, and I want to focus on the second verse, second stanza. It says, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day, earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay, and all around I see, O thou who changest not, abide with me. We talk a lot about the fact that God doesn't change. And people will use the fact that God doesn't change to say we shouldn't change. Well, I've got a question for you. Is that really true? Is that really true? So, come on. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 says, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, children of Jacob, are not consumed. I do not change. God says he doesn't change. But what doesn't change? What doesn't change about God? So I want to point out a couple things. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 14. This is talking about what I spent the last three sermons talking about, the golden calf. If you remember, God was angry with Israel because of the golden calf, because they had this idol. And so he told Moses, I'm going to destroy them. But then it said, the Lord repented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. He repented. He changed. He didn't do it. Isn't that changing? It says God doesn't change, but he changed his mind. He was going to do something and he didn't do it. How about Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10? Remember Jonah was mad because God sent him to try to keep the people of Nineveh, tell them what was wrong. And God said, I'm going to destroy them if they don't change their ways. And Jonah 3 and verse 10, it says, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God repented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. He was going to destroy them, and he didn't. Changed his mind. How about 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 16? This is talking about the fact that God was going to destroy Jerusalem. And the reason for it was that David had sinned by numbering the people. David wanted to know how powerful an army he had, how many people he had, how powerful and great the nation of Israel was. And that went against what God wanted them to recognize, that it wasn't about how many of them there were, how powerful they were. Their success was based upon their protection from God, the blessings that God gave them. And so he was angry with David. So the Lord set a pestilence on Israel from the morning until the appointed time, and there died of the people from Dan to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented from the calamity and said to the angel who was working destruction among the people, it is enough, now stay your hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. He's out ready to destroy all of Israel. And he changed his mind. He repented. He repented of that. He changed his mind. So, how can it be that God does not change, but we have examples of the fact that he changed his mind different times in the Bible? How do you reconcile those two things? Well, I want to point something out. If you turn to Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 through 8, he gives an explanation. He says, if at any time I declare concerning a nation that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will repent or relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. So God keeps his word. Now, it doesn't mean that things don't change. We had an old covenant. But we didn't. The Jews had a covenant with God. We've been talking about that a lot on Wednesday night. They had a covenant. They didn't keep their end of it. What did God do? He annulled the covenant. Did that make a change? Well, sure did. The Jews ceased to be God's chosen people. That's a change, right? But what did God not do? He didn't change his word. He told them up front, this is what's going to happen. If you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. So things change based upon what people chose to do. But God never changes. He never changed from saying, if this happens, I'm going to do something different. If this happened, I told you I'd do this. This is what I will do. He was consistent, right? That's the part of God that doesn't change. But he does change based upon what we do. So let's look at a little bit about what about God doesn't change. Turn over, if you would, to Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's love never ends. God's love never ends. Let's go back to what we just talked about in Jeremiah. If you will change, I won't do what I planned on doing. Never, right up to the very end, he gives people the opportunity to do the right thing. Why? Because he loves us. Because he has mercy on us. What happens is dependent upon the choices we make, not God. He is consistent. He does not change. If you will repent, I will save you. He's consistent about that. But there's an if there. The outcome is dependent upon us, not him, right? You ever thought about how important that is? How many people do you know give up on someone? I've trusted them and they keep proving me wrong. I'm done with them. I'm finished, right? Some people even preach that that's what happened with God and Israel. That's not true. He didn't give up on them. They gave up on him. They broke the covenant. They did not fulfill their side of the agreement, and therefore it became null and void. He didn't give up on them. They gave up on him. That's an important thing to understand. Psalms 102, verses 25 through 27, talks about the fact that God does not get old or wear out. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They all will wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. God doesn't get old. He doesn't wear out. You know, getting old is not a lot of fun. Why isn't it a lot of fun? Because things change. Things you used to be able to do, you can't do them anymore. At least you shouldn't try. Your mind might tell you you can, but your body won't let you know that that was a bad idea. We were laughing. Some of us were watching somebody get out of a pickup truck. And there was actually a video I saw of this. 20-year-old getting out of a pickup truck. They just jump out. 30-year-old. Well, they kind of bend down and they kind of jump, but they kind of hold on to the tailgate. 40-year-old, they sit down and then they slide down. Once you get past 50,
they got a stool that they step down on to get down out of it.
Okay? Why is that? Because getting old means there's certain things you just can't do anymore. Not able to do the things you used to do. Can't do the things the way you used to do them. Hopefully we've improved in wisdom, but physically, we're not in control of things the way we used to be. Think about God. He doesn't get old. He doesn't wear out. He doesn't have to think about how he's going to jump out of the tailgate. Okay? Not a problem. God is able to do everything that he did and always will be able to do that. That's good news, isn't it? You know, sports guys. You watch some guy starts to get old. I grew up in Akron, Ohio. LeBron James was going to high school when I was in Akron, last in Akron, when I lived in Akron. He's still playing basketball at 41 years old. Still pretty impressive. But you know what? He won't be doing it at 60. Won't happen. No matter how good you are, no matter how talented you were, we can't do that. And yet God has been the same forever and ever. And he always will. He'll be able to do exactly what he's always done. Control what goes on in life. Keep everything the way that it's meant to be. Psalms 119, verse 89. This is an important one. The word of God does not change. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Once God speaks something, once God declares something, it is what it is. It stays. It doesn't change. 1 Peter 1, 24 through 25 is very similar. It says, all flesh is like grass, and the glory of the flower is grass. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Hebrews 13, 8, similarly, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The gospel does not change. God's word does not change. God's expectations of us do not change. You ever thought what a good thing that is? Doesn't change. We have laws that change because people decide that we should have different laws. So what was wrong becomes right, what was right becomes wrong. Sometimes it's hard to figure out what the law is, right? It's hard to keep straight of which is it? What are we doing now? Comes into consistency. You don't quite know what you're supposed to do or not do because it seems like they just change it anytime they want. Once God declares something, it stays forever. His word is consistent. If he has made a promise, that promise lasts forever. Pretty important thing to have happen, isn't it? Numbers 23:19, God does not lie or change his mind. God is not man that he should lie, or man, son of man that he should change his mind. He has said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? This is the one that I really wanted to focus on. Because this is the one that has the most impact on us. And I want to use an example. In Genesis chapter 29, verses 15 through 30, we have the story of Jacob as he's trying to get a wife. Remember the story. He finds this girl. He's in love with this girl. He goes to her father and says, what will it cost me to get her? And Laban says to him, you work 7 years and she's yours. So he does. He works 7 years. And do you remember what happened then? So he goes to get his wife after he's fulfilled his side of the agreement, right? And suddenly Laban says, well, that's not exactly the way it works, because the oldest daughter has to be married off before the younger daughter. So you can have Leah, which is not the one he was looking for, but you want to go, you got to work another 7 years to get the girl you want. Have you ever thought if God was like man? So here's what it takes to be saved, people. I want you to repent, confess, be baptized, and live life according to my will. Right? Well, what if tomorrow he says, I was just kidding. That was good. That was good. But, you know, I also want you to do this.
And then when you get to that point, oh, by the way, also I want you to do this over here. What if that's the way our salvation worked?
It'd be pretty hard, wouldn't it? What if the target was constantly changing?
You never knew really what it was going to take to find salvation.
Is that how God is?
It is, and isn't.
He's consistent. He does not change. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change what it is he expects from us. That remains consistent.
But things in God's world, things of God, do change because times change.
God mentioned that he used to wink at certain things, right?
Why did he used to wink at them? Because things weren't fully developed yet. Things weren't ready to be finalized. So he winked at them. He let things go.
But now demands that all men repent.
Now he said it, now it's fixed in stone. So things do change.
So we need to understand that there are things that should change, can change, and things that can't change.
You know, as much as we don't like change, there are things that absolutely, positively have to change. Our lives have to change.
Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. What does repent change? We talked a lot about repentance in class this morning. Repentance is what?
Change in behavior. Denouncing the things that you were before.
Not continuing to do the things that were wrong. That's a change we absolutely, positively have to make.
Think about, though, how hard that is, because that's the very kind of change we don't like to make. We don't like to change who we are.
There's a gentleman that I work with. He's got a bit of a temper. Gets himself all worked up, gets angry, says things he probably shouldn't say. And once he calms down, his excuse is always, well, I'm German. Become kind of a running joke. You know, if there's a problem with us, well, just remember, he's German. Okay. It's hard to change. We don't want to have to change that. We don't want to have to control ourselves, to do things that we don't do, to make ourselves be what God wants us to be. We would prefer to just be able to make excuses and say, we're German. But you know what? We have got to change. Acts chapter 3 and 19, very clear. Repent. Doesn't give it as an option. Repent. You've got to repent that your sins may be blotted out. Got to do it. Change that's got to be made. Is it easy?
No.
Is it uncomfortable?
Yep.
Is it hard?
Yep.
But it's something we've got to do. We've got to put off our old self, Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, is corrupt through the deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. That's a big change. Put off your old self. Let's go back to what we talked about in class this morning. Those people who are pretending to be able to remove evil spirits, they had to put off their own self. They told that they had been scamming the people, and they made it clear that they even gave up their wealth to show people that they were not that person any longer. They put off their old self.
Not an easy thing to do.
Difficult. Didn't get a lot of pushback on that. But we have to do it. That's a change that we have to make.
2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
We've got to become a new person. We've got to become something different. We can't just continue to be what we were and say, God loves me. God will forgive me. God is okay with me as I am. He gets me. Right?
Can't say that. God expects us to become what he wants us to be. That requires change. It's non-negotiable. It's something we've got to do. Is it easy? No. Is it uncomfortable? Yes. But it's something we've got to do. We have to obey the gospel. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 38. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We've got to obey the gospel. It's non-negotiable. Got to do it. God loves us. Yes, he does. We've talked about that. His love never goes away. But he keeps his promises. He's made an agreement. If we don't keep our side of the agreement, he has made it very clear he will annul the agreement. Well, the agreement with us is, I will forgive you of your sins if you repent and are baptized. If you don't keep your side of the agreement is null and void. It's not going to happen. Well, I don't really want to do that. It's change. It's hard. Difficult. But you got to do it. In order to obey the gospel, we've got to believe. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whosoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Totally messed that up. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We've got to repent. We just talked about that. We've got to change. We can't just continue to be the person we were. We've got to become the person we're supposed to be. Acts 8:37. We've got to confess our belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip said, "Then if you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." We've got to make a confession. You've got to let the world know you've changed who you are. I'll go back to our example in class this morning. They went to everybody and they made it clear. They divulged and confessed they weren't right. They let the world know. We've got to confess. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that we're going to follow him. Mark 16:16, we've got to be baptized. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but who does not believe will be condemned. And then the last one, and the one that some people have the hardest time with, you've got to remain faithful. Romans 2:10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison that you may be tested. For 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. There's one of those agreements. If you remain faithful unto death, I will give you eternal life. If you don't remain faithful, I'm not giving you anything. It's an agreement. That's what it takes to be pleasing to God. That's the change that has to be made in our lives. That little thing that I read from the jumpstart that I read talked about things that we can change. They don't change our faith. They don't change from us doing what God wants us to do. It just changes how we interact in life. Things are going to change in life. Things will never stay the same. As much as it pains me and a lot of other people, the day will come when we won't have gas-powered cars. There'll be something. It's common. Is it better or worse? Oh, but it's different. It's change. Doesn't matter. It still does the purpose, right? Its job is to get us from point A to point B. Whether you do it with gasoline, whether you do it starting with a crank, with a battery, or you plug it into the wall at night, it still does the same thing, right? Doesn't matter. We can spread the gospel in a lot of ways. Do we have to have a gospel meeting? No, we don't have to. If it's not working, why do you do it? Why do you continue to do something that doesn't work? You find something that accomplishes what the goal is. What was the goal of the gospel meeting? to get people to hear the gospel, to recognize that they need God in order to be saved. They may come and we've got to do something different with that. Whether we put sermons on CDs, put them out on websites, do podcasts, does it matter? No, it doesn't. But some of those things we've got to be willing to change because, as we also have talked about in class, Paul recognized he had to make a connection with people before he could get them to understand the gospel. If he didn't connect with them, they weren't going to listen. If they weren't going to listen, they were going to be lost. So he looked for ways to make connections. He changed how he approached people. That's all we're looking to do. We've got to identify the things that we can change, things that shouldn't change. The gospel doesn't change. What it takes to serve God does not change. That's where God is unchanging. Stay steadfast. But some of the ways we do things, they can and probably should change. And we've got to be comfortable and okay with that. And most importantly, our lives have to change. We cannot just make excuses and pretend that we are who we are and God will love us because we are. That's not what God said. The expectation is we are going to become a new person. We're going to become different. We're going to become what he wants us to be. So think about change. It's a difficult topic. Not one that makes us very comfortable. But it's really, really important in getting our salvation. This morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel, that's a change you need to have happen quickly. That's a change you need to have happen quickly because there's no guarantee that there's a tomorrow. And he's made it very clear, he who does not obey the gospel, that part of the agreement, does not get the benefit of salvation. You can't have one if you haven't done the other. If you obey the gospel, Revelation 2:10 says you need to live faithfully till the day you die. If you've not done that, the good news is God is consistent. He loves us and he's merciful. He will forgive if we repent. You need to take care of that this morning. So if we can help you with either one of those things this morning, come forward as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.